Now, 4 years ago, during the offering sermon out on this day, I said that the finances of the church were in a reasonable condition. There was not an abundance of cash, but there is a reasonable buffer for the current financial needs of the church. The income, both in the United Kingdom and in the United States, from all sources, both domestic and external, are on a par with previous years, previous experience. But regardless of our abilities to support the end-time work, we are all going to be put to the test. That is still the case. I then said that there are numerous reports of a slowdown in the world's economy. Currency markets are becoming more volatile. There is, at the present time, nothing that can be reasonably called a firm currency. This uncertainty is going to hit us all in the pocket. It is going to impact on the ability of the church to do its work. All that was said 4 years ago. Now the world's economy is staring a catastrophe in the face. Perhaps it should more correctly be said, since the world's economy is now on its knees, that it's staring catastrophe in the knees. I mean, you know, it's almost down and out. I suppose we could say that catastrophe is going to come pretty soon. I mean, look around and see what is around. The world markets are in absolute turmoil. The economy, believe it or not, is not the only wheel that is going to come off the wagon. And it's going to come off with some truly horrendous results. The whole financial, economic and healthcare systems of this world are at total variance to the ways that God has decreed. If we look at money, that is a lubricant to the modern world, in centuries past, if more money was needed, it was output that was increased, not the capacity of the world's printing presses to print more worthless IOUs. There was a time, almost beyond the scope of living memory, that Britain and the United States backed their currencies with gold. The gold standard ensured that money remained at a relatively stable value from generation to generation. There were rules that, quote, everybody, unquote, followed. Unfortunately, greed scuppered the gold standard. The banks wanted more money than the supply of gold would allow. And then some nations just refused to part with their gold to settle their debts. Subsequently, the gold standard was lost. And since that time, people's wealth has been nibbled away by inflation, sometimes at an alarming rate. Nothing being more certain in the eyes of the modern world than death and taxes. This day, being a day of atonement, should help us to crystallise our thoughts and bring to the forefront of our thinking the knowledge that Satan has but a short time left on this world's throne, and he is very angry. So today, in the time that is available to me, I wish to impress upon us all the importance of supporting the Church of God at this time. In doing so, I do not intend to imply that God needs our offerings. If need be, he could raise the stones to support his work. But, you know, we all have a part to play, and we have an opportunity to be part of this effort in these last days. This civilization in which we are living has been, and indeed still is, inspired by Satan, and has but a short time to run. One day, in a not-too-distant future, a new monetary system is going to be established. It's going to be based on a principle laid down in Scripture. And then if we turn to Leviticus chapter 27 and verse 16, we see that God's idea of a stable currency is far removed from that of John Maynard Keynes. I would like to follow on the ideas introduced by Mr. Bowles last Sabbath and by Mr. Ian Henderson in the last update by looking backwards some little bit. At school, when I was a lad in 1948, we used to refer to 5 shillings, that was a quarter of a pound, 25 pence for the uninitiated, as a dollar. That was because in 1948, a pound was worth had $4 value. You know, $4 equaled £1. In that time, one troy ounce was valued at $45. Today, one troy ounce of gold, one troy ounce of gold was worth $45. Today, one troy ounce of gold is close on $1,000. A house in Britain in 1948, a three-bedroom house in Britain, in 1948 could be bought for £950 in the home counties. Today, that same house in the home counties of Britain would cost you something in excess of £250,000. £250,000. In 1948, the basic state pension was £1 six shillings. That is, in modern parlance, £1.30. Today, the basic state pension is £95.25. With a certain degree of accuracy, you could say that the money, value of money, has fallen through the floor since 1948. For the basic needs of life, over the last 60 years, it has lost something like 96% of its value. That, brethren, is just a foretaste of what is about to fall the United States and Britain in the next few weeks or months. According to Pravda of the 1st of June, and posted on the church website, the final collapse has come with the election of Barack Obama. His speed in the past 3 months has been truly impressive. His spending and money printing has been record-setting, not just in America's short history, but in the history of the world. If this keeps up for more than another year, and there is no sign that it will not, America at best will resemble the Weimar Republic, and at worst, Zimbabwe. But turning back to chapter 27 of Leviticus, verse 16, we read the following. And if a man shall sanctify unto the Lord some part of a field of his possession, then your estimation shall be according to the seed thereof. An omer of barley seed shall be valued at 50 shekels of silver. No mention is found of allowing any margin for inflation, but it is a fixed and determined value, all pointing back to basic values of agricultural produce. It is from the land that wealth is generated, not from satanically inspired Ponzi schemes or some commercial or financial scheme dreamt up in the boardrooms of today's banking systems or the Bilderbergers or the World Economic Forum. It's laid down in Scripture. We have a definite value of money, or value of produce. Now, at the Day of Atonement, we are in the third season mentioned in Deuteronomy 16, in which we read the command to assemble ourselves together and to give an offering. As I've already mentioned, the church is solvent, and it does have the modest reserve that I've just mentioned. But we do need to look to the future. I admit that I cannot claim any prophetic abilities, but the writing has been on the wall for a great number of times. The wheels are coming off the wagon of the present civilization in which we live. And I believe that those wheels are going to really come off the wagon really very, very soon. So let's read once more the instruction that we find in Deuteronomy chapter 16 and verse 16. 3 times in a year shall all your males appear before the Eternal your God, in the place which he shall choose, in the feast of unleavened bread, in the feast of weeks, and in the feast of tabernacles, and they shall not appear before the Eternal empty-handed. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Eternal your God, which he has given you. Clearly this is a straightforward instruction. We have all been blessed. And additionally, we are all blessed to be living in these trying times. We know that Satan does not have long to remain on the throne of this earth. The wheels are about to come off the wagon of this world's systems. Today pictures the time when Satan will be removed from this world as the king of this world on this world's throne. That in itself is cause for great jubilation. We look forward to a world of better values, values that are God-orientated and God-based. Having said all this, we will now take up the offering, which is, and whilst that is being done, there will be offering music, which is to be sung by Mrs. Paula Henderson from Psalm 121, I lift up mine eyes to the hills. I said it would be sung by Mrs. Paula Henderson.